What does Issues Etc. mean to you? Later this month, we'll celebrate the one-year anniversary of the return of Issues Etc., and we want to hear from you. Please leave your thoughts about this worldwide outreach on the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. Be sure to give us your first name and tell us where you're from. 618-223-8384. What does Issues Etc. mean to you? 618-223-8384.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're going to continue our conversation on megachurches and the people who attend them. We had Scott Thuma on before the break, now one of the foremost experts on the megachurch. Author of the blog InternetMonk.com, Michael Spencer, joins us to do a little analysis. Michael, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd. Excited to be back.
Megachurches have been doing their thing for about 30 years now in America. What can confessional Reformation churches learn from the megachurch?
You know, if you look around an area that is not overrun with megachurches, but that has maybe one, two, or three, you will see that generally that is the hardest working, most risk-taking, most intentional, best planned, best resourced church in the area, and they deserve to grow other factors aside because they work hard at growing. They don't talk about it. They work hard at it. They make some tough decisions, sometimes those that are painful towards relationships, maybe sometimes those that alienate certain people. They know what they are there to do, and they work hard at doing it. And I think anybody can go in and ask the ministry team at a megachurch, what are the things that you've done that have made you successful, and learn lots of very practical, helpful things.
And yet you have called the megachurch, especially the American megachurch, a house of cards. What do you mean?
Well, I think that you've got a shallow evangelicalism, and you have a form of church that basically caters to shallow evangelicalism. The fact that evangelicals will come out of the evangelical wilderness and attend a megachurch is really no more surprising than that Americans will go to the mall or to the movie theater, where the plan has basically met them where they are culturally, with large numbers, with quality of technology, those sorts of things, programs for their children. If you're single, large numbers of single people. I mean, these are obviously things that are going to pull evangelicals in, but it's not going to pull evangelicals in America today on the level of loyalty to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You were asking exactly the right questions when you were going down that road. If we're talking about a service to the audience-oriented experience, of course evangelicals will pass through that. And the Willow Creek study was only mentioned once. The Willow Creek study tells us the other end of this. Now, they've certainly not fallen to pieces, but two-thirds of the congregation said they could see themselves leaving within a year. I think a lot of megachurches will experience that. They have their own set of problems. Changes of pastor. I mean, what megachurch does anybody know that's on their third or fourth pastor? It takes an enormous amount of financial resources to do what they do. They're very vulnerable. And as Dr. Thuma said, they're also they are greatly benefited by where they locate. And so many mega churches do well because they're in a great location, and others are in a much more vulnerable kind of location as things change. They have a very transitory group of people who pass through. I just think where culture goes in this country in the next 25 years, some mega churches will continue to do well. Many will not. I don't think it's the church that's going to save evangelicalism, if such a thing were possible.
They've marketed themselves well, I hear you saying. But when it comes to doing what the church has been sent by Christ to do, commissioned by Christ to do, and instituted and left here by Christ to do, how would you What kind of grade would you give them there? Not the marketing grade, but the faithfulness grade.
Oh, they would tell you, if you talk to those who are honest, that, you know, obviously you can be overrun with kids in upwards basketball and upwards soccer, and overrun with people who want to come to a weekly rock concert type worship service, overrun with folks who want to come to a big singles ministry. But when you cross that line into weekly attendance at a small group, into leadership in the church, into long-term discipleship, long-term churchmanship, you get things take a major dive. Every mega church knows this. The most hardworking member of the staff will be the person trying to turn all those customers into disciples. And I don't think it's radical, really, to say that the mega church is successful at attraction. It's successful at certain levels of getting people to come back to church, maybe after divorce or estrangement from the church. But as a disciple producing kind of church, I don't think it has anything much on the small church where relationships and discipleship are done in a different way.
How much of these mega churches are built around, I guess for lack of a better term, a cult of personality attached to the pastor, or in some cases, to a charismatic music or worship leader?
Yeah, I wouldn't use the word cult. I would say that mega churches largely depend on an entrepreneurial pastor who is extremely appealing. If you don't have both those things, I don't think it's going to work. And then secondly, a very charismatic worship leader. This is what I'm talking about with vulnerability. You can empty out a large church in the United States today rather quickly with a pastoral change, or with a music program change, you can vaporize an entire congregation right down to the next megachurch. And megachurches feel that vulnerability. They understand they're in competition for that. This is a way of doing worship in stark contrast to Lutheranism, where the minister has broad appeal to dominate the service with his personality, jokes, family life, pictures of the kids and the dog. That's what people want, as opposed to somebody who comes in and hides behind the word and behind the actual church's doctrinal traditions. I mean, we all want ministers to be warm, caring human beings. We want them to be likable. But mega churches have a tremendous vulnerability in that area, and it's not a pretty picture seeing people try to climb that mountain.
We were one Sunday in Houston, Texas, attending Lakewood, the largest mega church in the United States, with Joel Osteen, its pastor. And Joel and Victoria were out of the country, I believe, on that particular Sunday. And the music leader, extremely charismatic, talented young man, led the service and gave the sermon. And we walked away, both Jeff and I walked away, saying, if he wanted this congregation, he could have it. Or if he wanted to walk away the next week and say, follow me, I'm going to start a new church, he could take half the congregation with him.
Which, of course, frequently happens. This is another aspect of megachurch life. I'm very grateful for those that are doing a very solid job. And there are many who are doing, particularly in the work of evangelism and reclaiming folks, a very solid job. But once you begin talking about discipleship and long-term churchmanship, and then once this whole doctrinal situation comes in, and then you find a great diversity among mega churches in terms of those who really want to take that on. And of course, there are those that are very straightforward. That yes, that is a component of becoming a member here. And that kind of is backwards logic for lots of mega churches. So I admire those churches that have succeeded doing that.
Michael Spencer is author of the blog InternetMonk.com. I highly recommend that you check out InternetMonk.com this weekend. Michael, thanks for being our guest, and keep up the great work.
Thank you, Todd. You guys do the same.
Well, coming to our anniversary here in just a few days, Tuesday next week, June the 30th, our anniversary open house and celebration event, we have listeners coming from Michigan, Florida, New Jersey, Nebraska, all for our one-year celebration of the return of Issues, etc., to the air. Don't think of this as a fancy event, because it isn't going to be. Think church picnic with air conditioning. And believe me, we will have air conditioning. and we'll feed you, and it'll all be free. And we simply want you to come and celebrate with us 1 year of Issues Etc. back on the air. You can wear shorts, T-shirt. I think I will, too, because it's supposed to be hot Tuesday, I believe. If you can be here for the open house, please come out and check out our show as we finish the final hour at 4 o'clock on that Tuesday afternoon, June the 30th. And if you can, please do stay with us for some hamburgers, hot dogs around 6 o'clock. Now, you need to RSVP. Craig at issuesetc.org. Craig at issuesetc.org. It's Tuesday, June the 30th, beginning at 4 o'clock. First here at the open house at LPR Studios in Collinsville, Illinois. And then over for some hot dogs and some hamburgers with our listeners. We'll have some videos to play and give away some LPR bundle packages. It'll be a good night. Craig at issuesetc.org. Monday on Issues Etc., we'll talk to Bishop N.T. Wright about the doctrine of justification. He has proposed some interesting views on St. Paul and his teaching of justification, how a man is declared righteous. We'll see whether they hold up to Scripture with N.T. Wright on Monday on Issues Etc. A mile wide. They're more than a mile wide. They're miles wide. Megachurches are big. They're not only big numerically, they're big business, and they are big marketers. A mile wide. Unfortunately, not so deep. Maybe not even an inch deep. The real test of a church, regardless of its size, from Christ's perspective, is faithfulness to the clear proclamation of His cross, the forgiveness of sins, His blood shed for sinners. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again Monday, and thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.